The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program this week, send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. And remember, as I asked last week, if you do send in a comment, be sure to include where you are from, as you'll see later on in the program when we try to get through a number of emails that are stacking up on me. As you've heard over the recent months, they come from everywhere, from Canada, from New Zealand, from South Africa, all over the world. This small but growing audience really and truly is scattered about. So send in those comments, and hopefully, like with today, we can read some of them on the air. Well, have you ever gotten through a weekend or a busy period and just been absolutely worn out the morning you awakened? I think we've all gone through that. I went through that a bit this morning after a very hectic weekend, an enjoyable and exciting weekend in so many different ways. But later on in the program, I think we'll go through some scriptures that will be very encouraging in Epistles of Paul, my college class here at Edstone. We've been going through 2 Corinthians, and while I didn't get into this verse in today's class, we actually got into it Friday. I was thinking about it this morning as I was getting ready to discuss 2 Corinthians 5 and 6, this verse at the end of chapter 4 that talks about being renewed day by day, every single day. And to be sure, if you're living the Christian life, this daily renewal is essential, going to God each day for the strength and for the guidance and for the direction that we need, for the right mindset that we need, and even for the energy that we need to bring to this work and to our service to God. So stay with us, and later on in the show, we'll look at that in a brief Bible study. Also, we'll update you on the reach of God's work, give you some statistics from this past weekend. We had a repeat program that played here in the UK on remembering the Sabbath day, and so we offered the Sabbath booklet on that program. And also, Edwin Trables here in the regional office has updated me and some others on some statistics that I think you'll find encouraging regarding foreign language websites and the responses that are coming in from those. And then finally, as I said a moment ago, we'll go through as many emails as we can. They've been coming in, as I say, from all over the world. Well, yesterday, Angela Merkel announced that she will be seeking her fourth term next year, saying that she needed to defend Germany's values. She's looking at the world as it is and feels like she has an obligation to carry on. Of course, we're going to be watching that election closely because, as we've said so many times, Daniel 8 talks about a strong man coming out of the heart of Europe and most likely out of Germany to head up that final, that seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Last week, we from our news bureau back in Edmond, Oklahoma, one of our German translators sent us this piece from Merkur.de. This is a German language publication. And the English translation is as follows. It says, at the beginning of 2017, Steinmeier's era in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs will probably end. Normally, the SPD appoints the successor, but would the former CSU minister, Karl Theodor zu Guttenberg, have a chance for the post? And this piece says a little bit later on, observers of the political Berlin are entertaining thoughts. It is possible that the office of the foreign minister might move to the Union. One man in particular comes to mind. He's largely disappeared from the political picture, but he is most familiar with foreign policy, the former CSU minister, Karl Theodor zu Guttenberg. It just goes on to say how that the Germans really do look upon this man with great fondness. And you'll recall when the Trumpet commented on his plagiarism scandal, I think that happened back in 2011. You can probably remember, if you've followed us for very long, the late Ron Fraser talking about, you know, that will pass over time, and he'll no doubt have another life in politics. And if you look at some of these articles coming out of Germany, that could be sooner rather than later. Here we are, 5 years on from it, and he's poised and ready. And then we're coming up to, well, an even bigger election, or an even bigger decision-making process for Germany's leadership when Merkel's up for re-election toward the end of next year. It says here, finally, the citizens have now largely forgiven, speaking of Gutenberg, they've now largely forgiven him for the wrongdoing. Many Germans appreciate Gutenberg again. And then it goes on to give some stats on just the feelings of everyday Germans in Germany. And speaking of that, as far as polls or statistics go regarding the mood in Germany, this one here from, again, translated in our news bureau from the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, it's titled "Trump Darkens the American Image of for the Germans." Says the current German opinion about the U.S. deteriorates, or has been deteriorating noticeably. And then it goes to give some stats according to recent polls, and talks about how Donald Trump has had a negative impact on the German opinion. It says, for example, the percentage of Germans who consider the United States to be Germany's best friend deteriorated since 1977 from 54% to 18%. It says America and Germany are more separated than ever, and it seems as if the election of Donald Trump is only driving a greater wedge between the two. Now, we know the Bible talks about the United States and Britain both reaching out to their lovers, and how that those lovers are going to betray them in the end. So to watch for this kind of division in the opinions of everyday Germans, everyday Americans, that's something that we'll be following closely as well. There was another piece yesterday about President Obama racing to regulate before Donald Trump takes reins, before Mr. Trump gets in there. And as we know, with all that's happening around the world and what will happen in Europe, as we discussed with you last week and the week before, the United States really is going to be turning inward to deal with its many problems. And here President Obama is doing everything he can, really, to make it more difficult on the new administration when it gets in there in January, because, well, Trump's pretty much promised to get in there and roll back these regulations. All of these regulations that the Obama administration has put in place to just make government big and to basically restrict everyday activities and behaviors in the United States. It says, at the federal agencies across Washington, regulators are rushing to finalize rules before President Barack Obama leaves the White House. All these rules and regulations, thousands and thousands of them, of course, flowing out from this radical leftist agenda. It says where the administration has issued an average of 2.2 rules per day this year, 10 were pushed out the door on Tuesday and Wednesday. This is according to American Action Forum. We're running, not walking. We're running through the finish line of President Obama's presidency. That's from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator, Gina McCarthy. She's happy. More and more rules and regulations from these environmentalists. It says, finally, the Federal Register, this dense packet of rules and regulations, It swelled to 1,465 pages, the thickest volume yet this year, since the November 8th election of Donald Trump, who has vowed to fight radical regulations. The White House has finished reviews of 9 economically significant rules compared to 8 during all of September. And so here is the Obama administration rushing to pass all of these regulations. Well, not to pass them, to instill them into this book swelled to 1,465 pages. This is like executive actions. And then you might have seen from yesterday, too, where President Obama said that he would. I mean, I think the reporter asked him about, well, are you going to be sort of like former President Bush, who basically kept quiet during your 8 years and didn't come out and criticize you? And the president essentially said, well, to a point, but, you know, if the situation requires me to speak up, then I'll certainly do so to uphold my values or America's values or ideals. And so you can expect there's been quite a lot about the radical left, or more, I guess, more precisely about the Democrat Party and how they are in disarray right now. They've taken such a beating at the, on state levels and also at the federal level, obviously. But they're not going to go away quietly. They're going to fight. They're going to keep pushing for their agenda. They're not going to, as you've seen from the protesting, the hard left in that party, they're not going to accept Donald Trump as their president. America's deeply divided. And again, it's interesting to just look at these stories, what's happening inside the United States, as it relates to what's happening in Germany, in Europe. And we did spend a fair bit of time on all of this last week. A couple more stories here. This one I had for Friday. I just didn't have time to get into it. It's from the Daily Signal that says, new numbers show continued decline of U.S. military. Now, last week we talked about the push in Europe because of Donald Trump's platform. We talked about the push to build a European army and how that more and more nations in Europe are now getting on board with that. They see that the American umbrella, it's being removed. And they also see, these European states, they see the threats coming from Russia, coming from radical Islam. And so here, on the one hand, you have a push to build up the military, to establish a stronger defense. And then these numbers coming out of the United States, I mean, the world's lone superpower, the world's policeman, up until just very recently. And the statistics continue to show that the military is being hollowed out. Says as a new presidential administration prepares to take office, the responsibilities it inherits are daunting. Threats to U.S. interests and security around the globe continue to grow and fester. They continue to grow. At the same time, budget cuts have forced the Department of Defense into unsustainable practices, foregoing longer-term modernization to service the military's more immediate needs and ongoing operations. And then it goes on to give some of these statistics where in too many areas the military's struggled to keep up or just to maintain the status quo. In addition to an aging nuclear infrastructure and out-of-date nuclear weapons designs, the Task Force on DoD Nuclear Weapons Management concluded that the readiness of forces assigned the nuclear mission has seriously eroded. I mean, it's right across the board. Even with something as terrifying as a nuclear war. Meanwhile, Russia's building the T-14 Armada, this lighter and faster tank than anyone else has. British intelligence calls it the most revolutionary tank in a generation. By contrast, this article says, the U.S. has delayed or canceled multiple ground combat vehicle programs and with none currently under development, the future of such capabilities remains uncertain. While Russia builds up its forces along its border with NATO, America is increasingly weakened by continued reductions in troop levels, having the smallest standing army since 1940. Army procurement was cut 35% between fiscal years 2011 and 2015, and the military as a whole is now smaller than it was before 9/11. Smaller than before 9/11. It says this accelerated troop reduction plan, driven by the Obama administration. This was one of his policies coming in. We've got to reduce the size of the military. We've got to reduce the amount we spend on the military. And that's been going on now for 8 years. And we're seeing just how dramatic some of these cuts and slashes have been. Driven by the Obama administration. Talks about the threats coming from the Pacific. China. China's movement in the South China Sea. It says here, yet the U.S. Navy, which serves to uphold U.S. security and economic interests by maintaining freedom of navigation and trade on the seas, is struggling to field a fleet that can consistently maintain a presence around the globe. That's why China's on the move. Because they see the U.S. is struggling to put a fleet out there that can consistently maintain that U.S. presence. It gives some hard numbers later. Again, this should serve as a wake-up call for so many in the United States. Now, again, Donald Trump has talked about taking care of our veterans in particular and making the military strong again. We'll see. We'll see just how much success he has, though, in actually building up America's military. It says, for example, the Navy has operated only 10 aircraft carriers for a number of years in a row, below the legal minimum of 11. At the other end of the surface fleet, the Navy has held that it requires 52 small surface combatants, such as frigates or mine-hunting vessels, yet it currently only sails 17. The Navy says it needs at least 52. Currently, there's 17. It says this is reflected in the Navy fleet as a whole, which has shrunk by 13% since 9/11 and is our smallest fleet since 1916. Where do you think this is headed? What is this significant? This direction? This trend? This trajectory? It says across the services, the military is also experiencing aircraft shortages and procurement delays. Well, it's right across the board. Army, Navy, Air Force, you name it. And it's not any better here in the UK. In fact, it's a lot worse. There is an article in the Times just today. Naval fleet is too small to protect Britain. We don't even have a big enough fleet to protect this island, let alone project an influence abroad. And for the United States, that influence abroad, I mean, that's in decline. Says the Royal Navy, this is about the UK now, the Royal Navy is dangerously small and will be unable to cope if the state of global security worsens. That's what MPs are warning. All of these serious and grave concerns. And yet, they've reached this pathetically low level, it says in this article. It just keeps shrinking. Not even enough to protect the island. It says here, dropping below the present 19 frigates and destroyers, even for a short time, would be completely unacceptable and leave Britain lacking the maritime strength to deal with the threats it faces from nations such as Russia. Well, that's why the Russian fleet just sails right through the English Channel and doesn't think anything of it. Britain's so weak. Can't do anything about it. And the United States is heading in that same direction. Herbert Armstrong asked in his book, his classic work, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, do you think so great a fall could not come to so great powers as Britain and America? You think it can't happen? Do you know anything about history? Do you know anything about prophecy? You think it just simply cannot happen? Look at the hard numbers. Mr. Armstrong said you need to open your eyes to the fact that Britain's sun already has set, and the United States is fast riding to the greatest fall that ever befell any nation. That's quite a statement, that last one there. The greatest fall ever to befall any nation. That's what the United States is going through right now. Mark Stein, the commentator, he wrote a few years back that, I mean, this was several years ago, in his book, After America, where he concluded that we're not facing a decline, we're already in it. It's here. It's here. And that's what these numbers are telling us. Shocking numbers about the U.S. military, about the size of the U.K.'s Navy. The handwriting is certainly on the wall. Go and read Daniel 5. It's on the wall. You can see it. We're not just facing a decline. We're already deep into it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget to email the program. You can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Is prophecy real? Is it anything more than a collection of imaginations, vagaries, and wishful thinking? The answer is no. Human beings have never dreamed up an authentic prediction of the future. The human mind simply isn't capable of it. Such a feat would require godlike power. What about Bible prophecy? Is Bible prophecy real? Is it different than the litany of other failed prophecies that have been discarded throughout human history? Unlike other books, particularly those books that claim to predict the future, the Bible has endured for thousands of years. Something about this book has transcended thousands of generations of human history. And this book, the Holy Bible, claims to predict the future. It claims its prophecies come not from the minds of human beings, but from the mind of their Creator, from the mind of God. Prove the Bible's prophecies for yourself. If you cannot honestly prove them to be true, discard the Bible and move on with your life. But if you can, what a spectacular book the Bible becomes. Request Herbert W. Armstrong's free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. This book will examine the core Bible prophecies and compare them to history and current events. More than 6 million people have requested this amazing and easy-to-read book. Order The United States and Britain in Prophecy by Herbert W. Armstrong and prove Bible prophecy for yourself. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
Yesterday, a number of us were able to enjoy a beautiful wedding. One of our very own dedicated employees here at Edstone, David Howard, and his marriage to Lauren Eames. So it was a family affair, a great celebration, a busy time. Adding that to the Sabbath meeting in London the day before, and in my case, speaking down there, and then all the events surrounding the wedding, and then trying to squeeze in on top of that an event that my son had at his dance school. Lots of driving, lots of back and forth, lots of zipping here, zipping there, and then, as I said at the start of the show, you get to Monday morning, and well, this is the start of the work week. You have to keep going. You can't take a day or two off just to recover from a busy and tiring weekend. And that's where scriptures like this one in 2 Corinthians 4:16, where it talks about being renewed day by day, that's where verses like this are so encouraging. And they really do point to the fact that we have to go to God daily. for the strength. I mean, this shows, verses like this, it shows that God's Spirit does not continually regenerate. We have to continually receive that power. We have to continually go to God for that power. God compares it to flowing water in John 7. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, often talked about it like electricity that needs to circulate. It flows, in other words, in and out of our lives. And God says He'll give us more of His power if we go to Him and ask Him for it. Obviously, that means in prayer. Daily prayers. Daily instruction from God. If you look at some of the advantages of daily radio, Mr. Armstrong went into this many, many, many years ago when he talked about how effective his daily radio program was in just leading people to the truth. People tuning in, like so many of you, on a daily basis. I got this email a few days ago from North Carolina, one of our listeners in North Carolina. And he said, I listen live at 8 a.m. on my cell phone and usually now listen again at 1 p.m. because I find the program so interesting, stimulating, and informative in my education. It is so positive to help me understand the world in which I live. I feel I am so informed as I watch and pray and really talk up the contents with my wife and her family and our fellow members. He goes on and says that he's now studying the autobiography, which we've talked about quite a bit in recent weeks. And then he concludes with this: you cannot possibly know how much 1 hour of Trumpet Daily Radio has helped me to grow. This radio program, all the programs are helping me become more like God. It builds my faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there is something to be said for every day hearing God's truth and going to God for that day-by-day renewal. If you look back into the Old Testament, I'll read from Leviticus 6 here. If you'd like to read along, go and get your Bible and see what God says about the daily. Leviticus 6, verse 8 says, And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It's the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. So this daily sacrifice was offered once in the morning, once in the evening, it says in Daniel. The evening and the morning sacrifice. And yet here in Leviticus, it goes into some detail, talking about the offerings themselves. Not just the fire. I mean, the fire was to be kept going. It was to be kept burning all through the night. But here the indication is that the offerings themselves were to be kept burning. And some commentators conclude that this meant that the priests had to take turns through the night to put the lamb or to put the sacrifice on the fire piecemeal. One little piece at a time to keep the fire going through the night. Well, you get into all the instructions. Verse 10 says, And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. I mean, just so much that went into this. Keeping that sacrifice going, removing the ashes, and so on and so forth. Verse 12 says, And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings, says the fire, verse 13, shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Never go out. This was the Old Testament type of what true Christians do in this end time. A continual sacrifice. A continual. That's how it's described in Daniel 8 and Daniel 11. It was to be every single day. Every day. It's called a daily sacrifice in Daniel 12, but the sacrifice, or the word, was added by translators. Actually, in the Bible, or in the book of Daniel, it's just talked, there's nothing wrong with the word sacrifice. I mean, it's used in the Bible throughout. It's used in the New Testament, and we do make sacrifices. We just read about them in ancient Israel. But the focus in the book of Daniel, and you can see this in Daniel 12:11, the focus is on the daily. The focus is on the continual. My father wrote, this is from an article he wrote way back in 1998, almost 20 years old now. But he said in 98, God wants us to focus on the continual. Put the emphasis there and not on the sacrifice. The meaning truly will be enhanced if we can get our emphasis and focus right. I mean, God does expect sacrifices. He expects for true Christians to sacrifice. It's our reasonable service, as it says over in Romans 12. Notice that, Romans 12:1. Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, in the Old Testament, of course, there were no living sacrifices, just the dead ones, as I read about in Leviticus 6. But they had to keep those dead sacrifices burning continually because of what it typed on the spiritual level. And where does God place the emphasis? On the fact that it's every single day. On the fact that it's a continual thing. Verse 2 of Romans 12 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here again, Paul talks about the renewal. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, speaks of it as being daily, day by day. The emphasis here is on the constant renewal process that makes this sacrifice a continual thing. It's always burning. It's continually burning. Think of all of the wasted energy and effort that you'd have to put into, you know, keeping a fire burning if every 6-8 hours it went out and then you had to go out and start it up again. Well, I mean, with the modern technology, I guess starting a fire isn't as challenging or as difficult as it used to be. But you can be sure that in the Old Testament, they kept stoking that fire, they kept adding fuel to it, and making sure that it was kept burning. But spiritually speaking, I mean, if we just let the fire go out, and then we have to start all over again, every day, or every few days, God wants us to keep it going continually. Because he wants us to always be fired up. Even when we might be tired or worn out. Even when we might be suffering through persecution or distress. And you know, Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 4. Let me just go back there actually and cover the few verses that lead up to that verse about the renewal. About being renewed day by day. You look at some of the things that Paul was subjected to. He spends a fair bit of time on it, in fact, in 2 Corinthians, telling these brethren, so many of them were being critical. They were questioning Paul's credentials. They were giving an ear to false ministers. And Paul was saying, look, I'm not out here faking this. I mean, this isn't some big hoax. I'm not subjecting myself to trouble on every side because I'm trying to trick you. He says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I mean, his life in so many ways was in constant jeopardy. And yet, Paul knew that God was in charge of his life. Paul knew that he could die at any moment if God permitted it. But he just kept his focus on the spiritual, on serving God, on keeping that daily fire burning. Verse 9, he says, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. He always typifying the crucified and the resurrected Jesus Christ. Dying daily, as he said in 1 Corinthians 15, and yet living unto God. How's that for a right, spiritually oriented focus? He says in verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Living unto God. He says in verse 12, so then death works in us, but life in you. I mean, we go through what we go through in the ministry, he says, so that you can really live unto God and receive this truth and receive this valuable instruction. I mean, some of those first century ministers were out there giving up everything, not just their time and their energy, but their lives in some cases, so that we could understand this mystery. Verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I mean, whether we're persecuted or not, we have to speak. We have to give you this truth. He took his responsibilities, his ministerial responsibilities, seriously. Knowing, verse 14, knowing he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For it is all for your sake, verse 15 says, in the Revised Standard Version, it says, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. See, Paul understood that his preaching, his teaching, even his sufferings, that it was all for the sake of the brethren. And yet he got his mind off of himself and on what he could do to give to these people, that they might be saved, that they might receive salvation in the end. Verse 16 says, for which cause, here's the verse, for which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish. That's what's happening to the outward man, or the physical, fleshly man. It's perishing. It's such a short-lived life. It's not even life. It's just a countdown to going right back to sleep. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. The mind of man together with the Spirit of God, or the mind of God, it's renewed daily. How? Through prayer and study. How many times have you been out of it, or groggy, or not really that spiritually minded, and then had an invigorating session of prayer together with an illuminating Bible study as well, and just experienced a complete turnaround? That's what God wants us to experience every single day, because every day we need to be renewed. Every day we need to go to God for more of His Spirit, for more of His truth. We need to feed on it. God's Word is likened to the manna that the Israelites collected in the book of Exodus. And they had to do that every day, by the way. Every single day. And then a double portion on Friday to prepare for the Sabbath. That's the daily renewal. That's the day-by-day renewal that keeps us going. Why have so many of God's people fallen away from the truth in this end time? Well, if you want to get down to the very basic essentials of why they veered off course, of why they fell away from the truth, here's how it happened. They stopped doing the daily. They stopped doing the daily. They stopped sacrificing daily. And with respect to that daily sacrifice, as my father brings out in that old article from 1998, the daily is where we want to put the emphasis. The daily is where we want to put the focus. The fact that we have to do it every single day. When we come back, we'll get into some of these emails that have piled up in recent days. You can send us an email yourself if you like. Just send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma. Jesus said, "Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." But God wants to bring you out of sin, just as He delivered the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. He wants to empower you to live sin-free, a totally different, God-centered way, walking in newness of life. It is a life of blessings, of understanding, peace, fulfillment, and joy. But it is not the broad, easy way. Jesus said that, "Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." This booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, will help guide you along that narrow path that leads to righteousness and blessings. The Christian life is full of challenges and trials. It requires learning God's will and following it, even against temptation and self-desire. It demands struggle and sacrifice. It is a life of overcoming and conquering sin. The Bible backs this up from the first chapters of Genesis to the final chapters of Revelation. Scripture frequently describes it as a struggle, a fight, a battle. How to Be an Overcomer is the perfect field manual you need to rule your own spirit well and to overcome your adversary. Request How to Be an Overcomer today and learn about what it takes to win your war against sin. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Over the weekend here in the UK, we replayed a program from last year, Remember the Sabbath Day, to keep it holy. We just played that once last year after we made it. And then the repeat, the first time we've run it again, it brought in 123 requests for our Sabbath booklet. All of those requests coming, mostly anyway, from here in the UK. So it's exciting to get 123 of those booklets, that powerful, powerful booklet where Mr. Armstrong, you know, he talks about them going out, the Israelites going out daily to receive the manna, and how it all revolved around the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath. It's right there within the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so what does mankind do? Well, they forget it. They cast it aside. They ignore that command in particular. Remember the Sabbath day, God says. Don't you forget it. It's a powerful, powerful booklet by Herbert Armstrong. And it's exciting to think about 123 of them going out to those who viewed the program over the weekend. On Friday, we launched two new foreign language translation websites, one in Dutch and another one in French, I believe. And Edwin Trabel's reported this morning that just after launching these two sites, relatively small websites, you know, just out of nothing, and then poof, all of a sudden it's there on Friday. No advertising, nothing to draw attention to these sites, but we've already gotten, I think, three requests for English, for an English trumpet subscription. One coming from the Netherlands, and then two literature requests coming from French-speaking areas. So he just said, it's a small beginning, obviously, but it's exciting to see that without even doing anything except producing a few articles or translating a few articles into French and Dutch, that it's already generating a small response. The German website, by the way, that's been off and running for some time now. And with that particular one, we're actually producing my father's program, the Key of David program from the States. We're actually running a German translation over that as far as the audio goes. And several of those videos Mr. Trables brings out in his report have already generated between 300 and 500 views. There's a couple that have gotten really strong responses. But several hundred German-speaking viewers are out there watching the Key of David as it's translated into German by one of our translators down in Austria. So that's some exciting and encouraging news from this particular region as we continue to dispense with this message, and people are responding. This first email here comes from Alaska, one of our regular listeners up there. Hello again from the last frontier. The last frontier. I still listen via SoundCloud and sometimes through the TuneIn radio app. It truly is shocking to hear about all of the violence transpiring around the U.S. It seemed likely that something like this would happen, though. Also, I was wondering if people would have reacted like this in a different time in history, when it's all clearly based on lies and deceptions. Either way, it's not hard to see Satan's heavy influence. God help us to be as, if not more, urgent than our adversary. Thanks so much for the diligent effort. This one here comes from Southern California. It says, in regards to your recent episode about superpower Europe and where we're headed, I just want to say your program is a refreshing light to myself and my wife in our busy Southern California lifestyle. One way we take full advantage and try never to miss a program is we take you with us as we engage in cycling, running, or in our drive to our weekly services. Your program at times even pushes us even more in our physical workouts. So they work harder physically because of this program, believe it or not. Actually, I know this man's wife. He was just recently married, and his wife comes from this particular area of the UK. She lived just down the road from us, in fact, and there were several times we'd drive through Henley and Arden, and we'd see her jogging. So she enjoys getting out and exercises, and evidently her new husband does as well. It's great that they can enjoy the program as they do that. He says further, this episode was especially enlightening as the recent elections were upon us. You're absolutely right about a dark cloud rising on America. I've felt a bit bad for Mr. Trump, considering he will never get a fair chance to make America great, although we know no man will achieve this. I fear America will not accept his presidency, and already he's being set up to fail even before he takes office. That's from Southern California. Another one here from New Zealand. Thank you very much for your analysis of Mr. Trump's recent victory. As you say, God's chosen the man for his own reasons to fulfill his plans. And so the left are only proving what poor losers they are by refusing to accept the election outcome. And thank you for reflecting God's light, which shines in the darkness of the chaos and confusion of biased world news reporting, to reveal to us how God's prophecies are likely to be fulfilled by Mr. Trump's election, and that the sins of the USA will result in division and race riots. He says Trump's withdrawal from NATO, causing the EU to form a military union to protect itself from Russia and radical Islam, and a trade war. He's just kind of rattling off some of the themes that we've been discussing. in recent days, and saying that it's all a sign of the soon coming return of Jesus Christ. It sure is. Another short one here from Nottingham, England. It says, listen to all of your broadcasts. I'm here in Nottingham. Great show and wonderful work. This one here from Texas, McKinney, Texas. He says, I'm a co-worker with your organization. You guys are doing a magnificent job of bringing light and clarity in this dark and deceived world. I usually start my day by tuning in before digging into God's truth. I thank God for all of you for taking advantage of technology and broadcasting where world events are leading. You're all in my prayers, and I look forward to never missing a beat. God bless you all. Another one here from New Zealand. It says, thank you for your invaluable media service of informing us reliably and truthfully of what's really going on with the American elections and how it aligns with prophecy. Yours is the only media service that we can rely on in the circus of biased international press about American politics that got it so wrong. Another one here from Texas, Edinburgh, Texas. It says, the program Guess Who Doesn't Care About Trade Wars was especially fascinating. That was last Thursday, by the way. Especially fascinating how you cut through all the wishful thinking and delusion and got right to the heart of reality. I enjoyed how you showed history repeating itself and how God reveals the true result in advance from all the campaign promises. That's from Texas. This one here, I'm not sure where it comes from, but he writes, may it be that the fulfillment of prophecy is hastened by the election, no matter how rigged, quote-unquote, as there is nothing that can be rigged against the outcome of God's kingdom on earth. Trump does give Germany the thumbs up to proceed with its militaristic ambitions, although that is not one of the conditions that Angela Merkel laid out in the open before the eyes of the world for him. It says later, God is all whoever made this nation great in the first place, and God is all who can make it great again, echoing the points made in my father's new book, Great Again, which we've referred to in a number of recent programs. This one here from North Carolina, once again, it says, I reside in North Central North Carolina and absolutely love hearing your energetic, motivating programs. They help me battle back against our arch enemy. You definitely exude God's Holy Spirit in the daily fight. Well, we talked more about that today. It is a daily battle, and we do need God's Spirit. We do need God's power. We need His energy, for sure. This one here from Canada, it says, I think before the Democrats and the radical left accuse Mr. Trump and conservatives of being racist and bigots, they had better study into their own history first. I'm reading Dinesh D'Souza's recent book, Hillary's America and the Secret History of the Democratic Party. I got that book a while back myself and have yet to get through it, but I have read a few articles about the book, and she's right. I mean, if you go back to the beginning of the Democrat Party and just some of the causes that they fought for early on, it's shocking. Another one here comes from one of our female listeners. I get it says, I'm quite fixated on your program and world events right now, as we should be. I really enjoyed Monday's program. Thank you very much for that perspective. I'm looking forward to tuning in more. That's a response from the show we had a week ago. And then another one here, really thank you and all of the members of your church. I get so much out of each program that I listen to on the internet. Mr. Armstrong, with God's inspiration, said we'd have a race war, and it's coming to pass. It humbles me and points me ever towards God's kingdom. This one here comes from Ontario, Canada. Just wanted to say thank you so much for all the wonderful material you and your team bring to us through the Trumpet Daily. The material brought to us each day is so timely, uplifting, and encouraging. I usually listen as I work around the house, and often find myself extending my work in the times when I'm actually done before the program ends. It's a wonderful way to get things done around the house. I usually download the podcast and listen to it that way, but sometimes I stream it from off the website. And she goes on to just mention a few things about the program we had on, I believe it was on the trade war, or maybe on the racial division in the country, citing some verses that popped out to her in the book of Deuteronomy. In any event, email, the next one here comes from a gal who says, "For sure there is no one reporting like KPCG. Seems people cannot pick up the sound of Miss Merkel's words unless you spell it out, and you do it very well. Warn, shout, roar. That's what it takes." Another one here from Texas. Quite a few from Texas today. This comes from San Antonio. "Thank you for all of your great insight over the past weeks, months leading up to, and now after the U.S. election. The Trumpet Daily gives the real, unjaded facts, unlike any other news source. The election results and now the societal breakdown that has followed gives us a clear understanding of where things are leading for our country. The major problems of our country are beyond anything a man, government, or political party can solve. We know that it's going to take the great God of the universe to solve them." And he concludes by saying thanks again. Well, we didn't quite get through every single one. I actually have seven or eight more, but at least we got through a bunch that had been stacking up. If you'd like to email the program, you can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us at the start of another week, and we'll see you tomorrow.